Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's Prophecy Update. As always, it's our desire to bring the events that are happening in the world from a biblical perspective and a prophetic perspective. So thanks for joining us. What we're going to look at this week is we're going to watch the Whore of Babylon visit Mount Sinai. Yeah, you heard me right. The Whore of Babylon, the ecumenical movement that will be used during the tribulation that is gaining a ground force right now, is going to pay a visit to Mount Sinai. Let me explain. The globalists who are continuing to push their satanic narrative of saving the planet, it's a false narrative, it's a hoax, it's not real, and they're pushing this on the entire world. Well, really what's behind the agenda is an effort to seize the economic control and power of the entire world by the globalists. They want to destroy capitalism. That's why they're destroying the economies of the world and move us all into a fascistic, Marxist, communist type of regime, a global regime. Really, it's going to be global fascism. That's what it's going to be. They are willing to allow mass starvation. They are willing to allow the death of millions because their green energy policies that you see not only in Europe, but in the United States. And a lot of people will starve to death and freeze to death this winter because of their green energy policies to cut us off of fossil fuels, to save Mother Earth, to save the planet, you know, their whole Greta Thunberg narrative. And basically, they're going to destroy the world by doing this. And they will try their best to destroy our way of life. And it's through the UN, it's through the World Economic Forum, it's through these Save the Planet organizations, because they all have this agenda, they're doing this through. And they're affecting the nations of the world through, because they're telling the leaders of the nations what to do. So recently, what just happened is the UN is going to have their COP27 meeting, and really the COP27 is all about saving the planet, saving Mother Earth. But this one's a little bit different this year. They're in this meeting, another group is bringing in a religious element to it. And this is the first time I've ever seen this religious element to it. So they always meet in November, so they're going to meet this November to save the planet again. And really, it's rolling out over and over again, Agenda 2030. It used to be called Agenda 2021, so they've moved it back to Agenda 2030. So everything is about 2030. 2030, we're going to go, you know, carbonless by 2030. We're going to own nothing and be happy by 2030. It's all, that's the big deal of Build Back Better, the Great Reset, the Great Narrative, and basically what these meetings are about, okay? COP27. Anyway, the elites of the world get together and they plan our futures for us. They plan how they're going to take control of things through going green and how we're all just going to simply be servants to them. Now, they don't come out and say that, but that's exactly what they're doing, because to cut the world off of clean energy and cheap energy will destroy everybody and make us all slaves and starve to death. So alongside this meeting, and they're going to have it in the Sinai Peninsula, on the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, alongside this meeting, they're going to have another group called the Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development, and they're going to be there. And guess what this group is going to do? This group wants to introduce this whole Save the Planet on a religious level. They want all the people of the world religiously to get on board on this, because the people right now haven't really subscribed to this through their ads and pushing of the government, pushing in education. People are not succumbing to this Green New Deal. But they figured out, well, we'll push it then through the religious elements, and people will follow their religious leaders to push the Green Deal. Anyway, so they're gonna go to Mount Sinai and promote this religious ecumenical movement that surrounds saving the planet. It's nothing but the Whore of Babylon, right? That's what ecumenicalism is basically the Whore of Babylon. She's a supra-religion. And you can have your own religion, but you have to practice what the Whore of Babylon wants you to practice. And in this case, it's going green, okay? And get this, as an affront to God, They're going to go on top of Mount Sinai and produce their own Ten Commandments for all the peoples of all the religions of the world to abide under to save the planet. This is the Whore of Babylon's plan. This is their plan. And they're going to institute this religiously throughout the entire world. Guys, this is the most sacrilegious and satanic thing these people could do. It's an affront to God. The optics are horrible. The optics are very evil. It's symbolism. And only judgment can come to these people who are committing this blasphemy. So join us today in our broadcast as we explore what they're doing and how this whole setup of the Whore of Babylon to rule the world religiously is setting the stage, and she's going to rule the world through the green dragon. We'll talk about that today. Now, I've entitled this that the whore is going to Mount Sinai, which is weird. And I'm talking about the Whore of Babylon. And she's going to be over there, apparently, in the next 2 weeks. The United Nations Climate Change, and they always have their conferences every year. And it's going to be held in Sharm el-Sheikh, November 6th through the 18th of November. This is the COP27. Last year, I think they had it in Glasgow or something like that. I can't remember. But it was COP26. Now it's COP27. It's going to be held in the Sinai. Anyway, they're going to have it on the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, okay? But something else is going to occur on... this is the Catholic side of Mount Sinai, okay? Now, here's the thing. We don't believe the Catholic site is the original site. That was just simply made up by Helena, who decided to point her finger and say, that's the place. That's not how you do archaeological discoveries. But apparently, she did that early on in the 4th century, and it became a Catholic site. The real site, and I've taken you through it when we went through Exodus, is in Midian, which is exactly where Moses went with Jethro. And it's in modern-day Saudi Arabia, and you have the Red Sea crossing over into Saudi Arabia, which would be old-fashioned Midian. And I showed you the top of the Sinai and the corrals and the barrier stones around that. Okay, so here's the point. It's not the right site. But nonetheless, even though it's not the right site, they're making a big deal about bringing the whore there, okay? So at COP27, countries come together to take action towards achieving the world's collective climate goals as agreed under the Paris Agreement and the Convention. Building on the outcomes and momentum of COP26 in Glasgow last year, nations are expected to demonstrate at COP that they are in a new era of implementation by turning their commitments under the Paris Agreement into action. Okay, save the planet, junk. Okay, the conference takes place from the 6th to the 18th of November in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Heads of state and government will attend the Sharm el-Sheikh Climate Implementation Summit on the 7th and 8th of November. High-level segment primarily attended by ministers will take place the 15th through the 18th of November. Okay, so this whole thing is a desire to get all the nations together, to get them on the same page of saving the planet. Now, we talk about this green agenda, and it's really the green dragon, which is destroying nations, destroying economies, right? We see that in Europe. We see that with the gas. We see the problems in California. So it's promoting the green dragon. But there's a religious element to this, okay? So keep following this. The goals include inclusive. It's funny how they just keep using the same terminology. It's the DI, diversity, inclusion, equity, right? So there's the inclusion. Rules-based and ambitions, substantive outcomes. That's called equity. Commensurate with a challenge based on science and guided by principles building on agreements, decisions, pledges, and commitments from Rio 1992. That's when this junk started. 1992 in Rio.
to Glasgow 2021, okay? But again, I've showed you other things from early on before that, that they always want. I think last week I showed you from 1969 about the depopulation, how they were connecting depopulation to climate, okay? We seek to accelerate global climate action. Notice the terms, global climate action, through emissions reductions globally. Scaled up adaptation efforts and enhanced flows of appropriate finance, redistributing the wealth for the globe. We recognize that, quote, just transitions remain a priority for developing countries worldwide. A just transition. You know what that means? It's redistributing the wealth from wealthier countries to third world countries so they can go green too. So that means your tax money is going to be redistributed to the Paris Climate Agreement so they can use your money to help Zimbabwe or El Salvador go green. Okay? This is Marxism, right? Another thing on their climate thing is they call it mitigation. We must unite to limit global warming to well below 2C and work hard to keep 1.5C target alive. Do you realize, and I pointed this out the other day, a forest set on fire in California, when we have all these forest fires, produces enough carbon emissions that set us back 20 years. You realize that. And a volcano goes worse with the carbon emissions. It's ridiculous. It's a fraud. Okay? This requires bold and immediate action, raising ambition from all parties, in particular, those in a position to do so, and those can and do lead by example. COP27 will be a moment for countries to fulfill their pledges and commitments towards delivering objectives of the Paris Agreement to enhance the implementation of the convention. Uh-huh. This year should witness the implementation of Glasgow Pact, call to review ambition NDCs, and create a work program for ambition on mitigation. Okay, so they got their goals out. This is what they're going to do. They're pushing it even harder. Okay, now where does Sinai play into this? Okay, obviously, going green, saving the planet, is one of the morals of the Whore of Babylon. Okay, creation worship, right? That's what it is. It's Romans 1. When you don't worship the creator, you worship the creation. And then you exalt the creation above humans. Okay, we talked about that, depopulation. Okay, so what's going to happen when they're on the tip of the Sinai Peninsula? They're going to have a big religious kumbaya on Mount Sinai for this. And a new set of Ten Commandments will be given. It's blasphemous. Now, I know this is not the right place, but it's the symbolic nature of it that I want you to catch. It's blasphemy. Okay? So in Sinai, a prophetic call for climate justice, November 2021, in Paris, with COP27 UN climate conference is going to happen. Okay, yes.
Didn't the Georgia Guidestones just get blown up? Isn't it interesting that now this is
a report? Yeah, you had the Georgia Guidestones get blown up, which was like their Ten Commandments of depopulation and everything else. You're right. And so now they're going to Mount Sinai. Now, I want you to think about the symbolic nature of this and why they would do something like this. Again, now I'm going to show you where the whore's at, okay? The Whore of Babylon. So this Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development is working in partnership, in collaboration with the UN, the COP27, okay? So they're going to do their thing at the conference and then go to Mount Sinai and do this whole religious ritual, okay? What do they stand for? The Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development, together with our partners, is launching the Sinai Climate Partnership at the United Nations Climate Conference, COP27, on November 13th in Sinai, or at the site, okay, St. Catherine's Monastery. The purpose of this partnership is to bring religious leadership to UN public policy discussions on climate change. Notice the religious aspect. That's when you see the whore. okay? Resonate a clarion spiritual call for climate action. I thought this was science. Why did this become a religion all of a sudden? You see the problems here? A spiritual call for climate action through faith-based communities around the world. Can you see the horror? Okay. Provide thought leadership for faith-based communities ready to mobilize on climate change. Dude, she is incorporating religion, which she is a religious element, but she's trying to get all the world religions to come together to fight climate change, the hoax of climate change, a false narrative. But she's trying to get everybody on board, and that's what they're doing here. Okay. So here's what their website says, okay? Between November 6th and 18th, 2022, the UN Climate Conference, COP, will take place in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. Religious communities and religious leaders have a key role to play in addressing climate change and climate justice. Why? I thought this was a government issue. Why is it a religious issue all of a sudden? You see what's going on here? They're making it a religious issue. The whore is making it a religious, and she has to, because in order to get compliance, you can't just have governments telling people what to do. In order to get compliance, the biggest way you get compliance is through religion. If their denomination, if their pastor, if their imam, if their rabbi, or whatever tells them we're going to go down this path, the majority of people will follow, which is unfortunate. Very unfortunate. And the worst perpetrators of saving the planet are Protestants. Does that come as a shock? It shouldn't. Protestants are haywire at this point in time. And we're part of that. In that the leaven has been introduced into the Protestant loaf, and it's thoroughly leavened. We're the Protestant element of Christianity is the biggest promoter of this junk. You know, it started with the guys wearing the skinny jeans and the V-neck shirts and dressing like an idiot and see, skinny jeans does say it all. But the skinny jean pastor, though, that everyone likes and is a femme, they're pushing global climate change in their churches, and the people are going on with it. They're accepting it because, well, the guy in the skinny jeans that claims to be a pastor, he told me this is what we should do. And they're going with it. So the Protestants are the biggest perpetrators of this nonsense. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Greek Orthodox. It's the Protestants. Okay. So, however, bringing about change actions demands deeper changes in attitude, a change of heart. Oh. And where is the center of belief? In the heart. See, they realize before the Charlie Oscar Victor Igloo Delta 19er came that people, you know, we were trying to make people afraid of, you know, the planet burning up and, you know, we're all going to die. And then the prophet Greta Thunberg came and she told us we're all going to die. But it wasn't working. There wasn't enough buy-in. And so it was really failing. So then what happened? Charlie Oscar Victor 19er got released. And then that became the scare tactic. Okay, so now that's gone. And so they're going back to the climate deal to scare people. You know, it's an existential threat, Biden said. It's an existential threat. We've got to do something about it. You've got to sacrifice yourself for this. And I heard people say today, giving the climate change mantra, we've got to get to a point where, you know, we got to not consume as much and we got to accept less. Hey, man, I know what that kind of talk is. We need to be more moderate. Now, as a Christian, if you don't know the Bible well, you say, well, yeah, I guess moderation, you know, everything's in moderation. Where's that verse at? I don't know it. because there is no verse that says everything in moderation. It doesn't say that. Where does moderation come from? Where does the word balance come from? Because you don't find balance in the Bible. You don't find moderation in the Bible. Do you know where those two terms come from? They come from the yin and yang of Taoism. The word balance is not found in Scripture. It's found in Taoism with the yin and yang symbol. Okay? And that's where the term moderation comes from, because you don't want too much yin and you don't want too much yang. Right? You want to be balanced. Why did George Lucas put Taoism in Star Wars? There needs to be balance in the Force. That is Taoism. And the symbol is that half, that circle with the black and white in it. Remember? I don't know what that figure is, but it is. It's a circle with a, like a tear duct thing, you know? So we need to change attitudes, change the heart. Why? Because it didn't work the first time, so now we have to go the religious route. And they're pretty smart in doing this, because you're right. Most people are not going to pay attention to scientists. Most people are not going to pay attention to government. But who they will pay attention to is the person in the pulpits, the rabbi in the temple, the imam in the mosque. Ah. This has been a domain of religions for millennia. That's right. That's religion comes from the heart, right? Okay. Religions are a source of inspiration for the transformation of heart and ensuing changes of attitude. Oh, yeah. This is the words of Satan. Satan knows how to invert religion and make it work for him. Now, according to the book of James, let's just talk about religion to begin with. According to the book of James, James sets out what pure religion is. If anyone wants to know what pure religion is, what does James say? He says it's to take care of widows and orphans. That sounds strange. How is that pure religion? How is that the demonstration of your Christian life? That's true religion. Take care of widows and orphans. It's not so much the widows and orphans. He's using that as an example of the weak of the church. Okay, the weakness of the church is found in widows and orphans in the church. Okay, but what is he saying? True religion serves. Okay, serves because of Christ, because Christ is a servant, and that's what when you practice your Christianity, true religion is when you serve. Okay, that's the outgrowth of your walk. Okay. The whore takes religion and she inverts it, okay? And in doing so, she can capture the heart of the person in the belief area, but what she does is turns it. And how does she turn it? The way she turns it is she is called the whore of Babylon. Why is the term whore given to her, or harlot? And that she commits fornication with the kings of the earth and the politicians of the earth and the merchants of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. What is this fornication? It's spiritual adultery against God, and she gives them a religion that doesn't serve, but is to serve themselves. That's how she turns it. She, in effect, doesn't encourage service. She encouraged people to serve the person. And that's why so many people are attracted to her version of religion, because they like to be served. Instead of Christ saying, no, you go out there and serve them. And then the person being served practices Nicolaitanism, which means they rule over the people. Okay? They rule over people instead of serving people. That's what she does to religion. So the devil is pretty smart here to play the religious card, but this is not the pure religion that comes from Christianity in the Bible. This is the perverted one where you serve yourself. So what is the motivation to save the planet? It's self-serving. Because I'm on this planet, and if I don't have a planet, then I die. Ah, she has manipulated people's minds into a self-serving religion. She is not asking people to die on the as a living sacrifice. She is not asking them to die for Christ. She's not asking them to die to self and all that. No, no. She is saying, you need to do this to save yourself. Doesn't that sound so nice? You need to do this to save yourself, to self-preserve. Her religion is perverted. It's for self-preservation. You see the, how it's working? So she's going to take religion and pervert it, and they're doing it through the climate for self-preservation. Oh. Now listen to this guy. He's one of their woke leaders. He's one of their climate gurus. And this is our enemy. Please understand, this is our enemy. This is an enemy of the cross. Listen to his words and you will hear the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Greetings from Finland. My name is Tapio Luoma and I am the Archbishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. Esteemed leaders, dear brothers and sisters. Every year on late October, the Finnish Ecumenical Council, a cooperative body of churches and Christian organizations in Finland, celebrates the so-called Ecumenical Responsibility Week. The purpose of this week is to make people reflect, question, and evaluate their own lifestyle in relation to the state of the world. Particular attention is paid to human rights and a just world. This year, the Finnish Ecumenical Council decided to show its support for the United Nations target program Agenda 2030, which strives to achieve the United Nations goals for a sustainable future on an individual and societal level. The Finnish word kohtuus was chosen as the theme of this year's Ecumenical Responsibility Week. The Finnish word kohtuus can be translated into moderation, which means not aiming for too much or too little, but just right. It can also mean unselfishness, that you do not act only for your own good, but take the best of others into a consideration. The word can be translated even into an idea of balance or harmony. I believe that today's
balance
people and societies should relearn a way of life that boils down to those key words, moderation, unselfishness, and balance.
Balance.
We should not hoard things for ourselves, nor spend more than we need. As religious leaders, our task is to first embrace this ourselves and practice it in our own communities. Only after that, we can act as shouting voice in society and encourage and demand the same from others. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland has set itself the goal of being carbon neutral in 2030. The goal is important and we have a lot of work to do to achieve it. The church has a lot of buildings, about 8,000, and also a lot of forests, over 160,000 hectares. To achieve the goal, buildings must be made energy efficient and carbon neutral. Forests must be protected and managed so that they act as carbon sinks and are diverse. In addition, we should favor a vegetarian diet. The real change requires both. It needs concrete goals and actions from churches and other religious communities, from companies, cities, and states. But it also requires a change of heart. We need moderation, unselfishness, and balance, or kohtuus, as we say in Finnish. Let us pray.
Listen how he prays.
Lord, teach us to understand the language of the earth, to hear the sigh of the earth, to find the depth of our connection with it, with all living things, and the joy beyond words that springs from it. Christ, open unto us a hidden way near thee that we may have such a mind as thou hadst, the peace and power of the kingdom of heaven within us now. Holy Spirit of connection, encourage us in the middle of this confusing time. Inspire us to take risks when it is time to love all living things, each other, and the people of the future. This we pray in a spirit of devotion, service, and praise. Amen.
He didn't pray in Jesus' name. Well, here's the funny thing is, if you notice what he said, we're in support of Agenda 2030. That's the UN. It used to be Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 2030. And the other name is Build Back Better. It's a new world order. This dude is a hireling. This guy is pumping the UN's mantra in his churches. The guy doesn't even know how to pray. He's not even praying in Jesus' name. If you're a pastor, you know you must pray in Christ's name. You have no authority to go to the Father other than through Christ. You don't just end your prayers, amen. That's wrong. The only way you talk to God is you talk through Christ. In Christ's name, amen. I can tell there's all kinds of stuff, all right? You know, but this is what we're talking about, guys. This will be the church's enemy within. So they go on to say, to support and challenge, inspire discussions during the COP27 at Sharm el-Sheikh, interfaith climate events will take place in Sinai that will be heart-stirring, transformative, a moment of inspiration for religious communities and for humanity. Religious leaders will call for a re-examination of what? Deep-seated attitudes? What do you think that deep-seated attitude that they want to change in us is? As far as, think about this in terms of climate. Yes. It's attacking the Creator, okay? Acting as if man has control of the planet, okay? That man is his own savior. Let me read this real quick. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This is after the flood, yeah? And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Here's the key phrase. This is what they're attacking. While the earth remains, this is a statement from God, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. End of story. The whole climate movement is an attack on God's promise that I will maintain your planet, your heat and cold, your harvest times and seasons until the earth is destroyed. And when did he destroy it? At the end of the Messianic Age. Man has no effect on it because God is holding it together. That's it. So on a satanic level, this whole thing is to confront that as if God's not holding things together. And then you move into the New Testament and you go to Colossians and it says that actually Christ is holding the whole thing together. It's him and his power holding everything together. Otherwise, things would be just coming apart. It's not man. Mount Sinai is a mountain whose, this is what they say, is a memory and meaning looming large as a place of revelation in the collective consciousness of Christianity, Judaism, Islam? I don't think so. And others? I don't think so either. As an ancient sacred space, it was the site of prophetic experience and receiving God's message for the prophets Moses and Elijah in all three Abrahamic traditions. I'm sorry, Islam is not part of the Abrahamic tradition. Sorry, it's wrong. And the prophet Muhammad in the Muslim tradition? No, thank you. It's not. It's a lie. So COP27 taking place in Sinai can remind humanity of our sacred responsibility to care for God's creation. Is that what Sinai was for? We come to Sinai in a movement of repentance and quest. What repentance? What of? We seek a new vision for humanity. I bet you do. And it's endangered in existence. Oh, man is the cancer on the planet. And we seek to receive and amplify a message of life-sustaining living and habits that humanity needs to hear today. In this spirit, the project partners will bring together premier religious leaders from the world's major religions to put forth a prophetic inter-religious call to action. Climate justice, 10 universal commandments. Now, wait a second. They've never done this before. But the whore is wanting to replace the 10 commandments with her commands. And they're going to reveal this in the next 2 weeks, what these 10 commandments are. And you know what's going to happen with these 10 commandments? They will adopt them into the governments of the world and demand that everybody follow them. I shall not eat meat. I shall not drive my car more than 10 miles or whatever they come up with. And they're going to say, this is great. We need to adopt these policies. These are the kinds of people that created the Echo Bible. I mean, you can probably imagine how they twist the whole thing. And here's the partnership. Bring religious leaders to the UN public policy discussions on climate change. Resonate a clarion spirit for call. I think we already did this, right? Yeah, okay, sorry. Our goals. Here are the goals. Inspire and unleash the power of interfaith movement. When you hear the word interfaith, that's the whore. That's her calling card. That's her dog whistle. Promote a coalition, of religious leaders to work together for climate action. Oh, a coalition to come together, all under the whore, right? Encourage religious leaders and communities to expand education and action around climate change. Mobilize local religious actors and civil society to partake in tangible activities to tackle the community's needs. Oh, partner with civil sectors such as faith NGOs and movements that align with our goals to amplify the message shared by COP. Expand already existing interfaith climate efforts through local partnerships. Do you understand what they're attempting to do? They're going to use this on the churches and all the religions of the world to promote this. This is it. This is the main thing they're going to push to take away our rights, take away our freedoms in order to save the planet. And here it is. This is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of it. Now, it's been brewing for a long time, but yeah, go ahead. Chris.
So two questions. One, do you know what the Ten Commandments, do we know what they are?
I tried to look them up today and they won't reveal them. They said they will be revealed in the next 2 weeks at Sinai.
Second question, do you think they'll be written in the negative to indicate positive rights?
No.
Positive in the negative.
You know, when people create things, they always write in a positive right, not in the negative. So, positive rights, that's what governments postulate. And in order to have a positive right, what happens? In order to give someone else a positive right that's not inalienable, you have to take a right away from someone else. That's how communism, Marxism, and socialism work.
Hey, Brandon, it sounds like to me they're trying to force this religious movement to be in direct opposition to the Dominion mandate as well. Everything's about it.
Yes. Yes, you're right. The Dominion mandate of take over the planet, subdue it, use the natural resources. We talked about that a while back. And what are we doing now? What does the green dragon do? It doesn't want you to harness the natural resources of the planet, right? It doesn't want you to use all the tons of oil that we have or the natural gas or anything like that. It's anti-Dominion mandate, like Roy is saying. You're totally right. And again, why? Why are they doing? Do they really believe this? Now, these people, at the underlings do, but what about the higher-ups? Do they really believe this? They don't. But it's a narrative they have to use to get compliance with them taking over the entire world. That's what it really is. Now, here's the funny thing is this: I checked on their website. It's always a money thing. Isn't it funny? It's never free. So you can be a partner. You can be a 1K partner, a 5K partner, 10K partner, or 20,000K partner. We want you to get involved and then pay us money to be involved. And then you do what we tell you to do. What kind of deal is that? I pay you the money and then I go do the work. Isn't that stupid? But people will do it. And you know what? This is gonna make all kinds of money. Before long, you're gonna have churches saying, guys, we're gonna do a collection to save the planet today. And We're got to be good stewards of the planet. You know, God gave us this planet, and so we need all the money because we're going to ship this off to the UN because they're our saviors. And people are like, okay, and they'll just give it. They will. I know you won't. I know we won't. So here's a question. Why Mount Sinai? Okay. Oh, I got questions. Go ahead. Then I'll talk about this.
I just have to ask, what do you think, what element do you think they're going to write those on? I mean, like, are they going to write it on stone?
I mean, it could be like the Georgia Guidestones, but they write it on stone. Because one of the things you see with Satan is he counterfeits everything God does. I wouldn't be shocked if they put him on stone, taken from that area. Weird. Okay, where's the other? Randy, go ahead, man.
Yeah, Brandon, prophetically we know about the Whore of Babylon and all that, but would you say this is the first time foreshadowing we're actually seeing a game plan being written out?
I think you're right on, Randy. I think, you know, before it's been nebulous and we hear the talk and we're going to save the planet, but there's never been a formalized agenda of like, how are we going to do this? And I think what you're starting to see now is they're putting it down and saying, this is what we're going to implement. And so, Randy, I think you hit the nail on the head. Now, again, you know, we won't be here in the tribulation, but this will be in full swing in the tribulation. And I can tell you this. Think about this, guys. I was studying about the whore today. She will kill you if you don't comply. Now, when I say that her, I'm using as a metaphor, the system that gets implemented will issue a capital punishment if you don't try to save the planet. And along with the other various values of if you don't support pedophilia, if you don't support transgender or LGBT or whatever, the whore kills you. And that's why there's so many that are beheaded, and her modus of operandi of killing people is to behead you. Okay, so this is where it's going. The whore is not a nice gal to mess around with. She acts nice at the beginning. She lures you in. But then once she gets you in, if you don't comply, I'll kill you. That's how the whore works. And right now, like what Randy is saying, you're seeing the groundwork for what they're about to issue. Can you foresee a day in America where, you can't drive your car a certain way? You have to have electric. We already talked about this. That will be part of the groundwork. Okay, so why Sinai? Why pick this as a symbolic, even though it's the wrong location, why pick Sinai? What is Satan trying to do with this? God spoke there. That's where God gave the revelation. And so the first thing that God gave was the law, his law. Now, these are the Mosaic laws, 613 commands, but within the Mosaic law is also eternal laws too. Murder is an eternal law. Stealing is an eternal law. You know, the coveting is an eternal law, okay? All those apply not only in heaven, but on earth. And then, the other commands obviously would apply to Israel. Now, we're still under a law, and we're under the law of the Messiah. And I think there's like 1,050 laws of the Messiah. But the eternal laws get carried through in every dispensation. That's why murder is still wrong. Coveting is still wrong. Stealing is still wrong. Not making image idols and stuff is still wrong. Okay? Or making those be wrong. So God gives this eternal law. This, and what is it for? Several things. On a personal level, it's to show Israel that you can't keep the law. You need the Messiah that I promised in Genesis 3. That's on a personal level, okay? They're going to realize they don't have power to keep it. But the second thing you have to understand, and this is where it goes into this dominion thing. The law that God gave Israel was how to structure a society. How America was structured from Sinai. Our founding fathers used Deuteronomy more than any book of the Bible to form our nation. And it was Deuteronomy that he used, or they used. It's the most quoted thing that the founders used in forming the United States, okay? And of course, they went out to other books, but Deuteronomy was the main use. When you look at Deuteronomy, it's how to structure a society. No wonder the founders used Deuteronomy. If you're going to create the kind of society that's free, right? You create it with responsibility. You create it with laws that if you break it, you have responsibilities. And think about this. It structures how women are treated. I mean, think about this. We're talking about the Bronze Age, and the commandment to the Israeli soldiers is when you go and attack another tribe, Canaanites, and it says if the Israeli soldier in taking the booty wants to take one of the women that they captured from, you must wait 30 days. And then at 30 days, if you still want to have her, then you must marry her. And then you can have her. Now, what did that prevent? It prevent the military of Israel from raping women when they attacked a society. Do you know how revolutionary that is in the late Bronze Age? Because all they did is when they attacked, they killed the men, took the children, and then raped the women. That's how they did. But God says, no, you're not going to rape the women. You can take them in, give 30 days, whether you want her or not. If then you marry her, and then you can have sex with her. Wow. Do you understand how fundamental that is to a society? That you just can't rape anybody. That you can't molest anybody. And what are they doing now? Raping and molesting. They're messing with kids, pedophilia. It's how a society is structured. So when it's symbolic, when you go to Mount Sinai, Satan is attacking the very foundation of society and saying, I'm remaking it. You see what's going on here? It's symbolic. It's purely satanic. Think about this, how fundamental. God says, this is how you get married. This is what you shall do. This is what happens when someone's animal dies. This is what happens if you accidentally murder somebody. And oh, by the way, if you make someone that's pregnant die and the child die, it's on your head, dude. I'm holding you accountable for that, for two deaths. That came into our law system, right? Even today, it's still, that's from Sinai. So it's an attack on the fundamentals of society. So the right structure of a nation was given at Sinai. The creation account is given at Sinai. I mean, it was Moses who wrote Genesis, right? Now, before then, the creation account was passing through orally, okay? But Moses is the first one to write Genesis, or the first five books of Moses, right? We call it Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and what's the other one? Leviticus. Moses says how creation happened and who did it, and that God basically created order out of chaos. Order out of chaos. Why is that important to understand that God creates order out of chaos? God's a God of order, okay? So in all of his statutes as a society, it creates order in society. It creates peace and harmony in a society if you follow the statutes of God, because he is order. When you get away from the statutes, you go into chaos. Because he created order out of the chaos. That is a teaching lesson. Okay, so what God is trying to say through creation, you get away from me, all you're going to have is a hellish nightmare in your life. You will have a hellish nightmare if you don't obey. My commands are to give you the best possible life for you and your children and your future if you will just simply follow me. I want the best for you. But if you decide to do your own thing, you are introducing hell. You will live in hell, and then eventually you will go to hell. And you will live through the process of going through hell in your life, which sometimes might be worse than the hell itself. what you put yourself through if you don't obey. And what's happening in creation, he is saying, look, this is how you structure society. This is how I created you. To have a proper relationship with me is to know I'm the creator. I make up the rules. I have the right to make the rules. I am the one who designed you. So when you don't go against the design, you're introducing hell, chaos. I made male and female, and I said it multiple times so you guys could get the hint, right? You can't miss it. I said how marriage should be, a man and a woman, nothing else. That's order. That's how society is formed. You go against that, you're introducing hell into your life and chaos. That's what his message. So what they're doing on Sinai is going from order to introducing chaos in our lives. Chaos. Look, I believe what God said. Nothing's going to happen to the planet until I pull the trigger. Okay? So us running around trying to save the planet from a non-issue is going to cause chaos. What kind of chaos are you going to experience? Economic chaos. Food chaos. Starvation. Loss of jobs, relationship chaos, because you're going after something that is introducing hell into your life. Hell is chaos. It really is. It's being away from God, his order of things, and it's a nightmare. This is pretty scary why they're doing it on Sinai. It's symbolic. The true history of the world was given there. God told Moses, this is how it went down. Here's the ancestor of this guy, ancestor of this guy, and this is how it went down. This is what happened in Genesis 6. This is what happened in the Tower of Babel. And this is way before Moses, right? And Moses is just writing this down. This is the history of mankind. This is how you got here. Why is that important to know where you came from? Because if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're at, and you don't know where you're going. You have to know your history. You have to know where you came from. You have to know why mankind is like this. What do you mean like this? Genesis teaches you that man now has a sin nature, so that man is inherently evil, and man must be guarded against, and there needs to be checks and balances and accountability, because man is inherently has a side on him that will make him go evil. Man is not inherently good, he's inherently wicked. And anyone that goes against our origins of this is introducing chaos into the world. So it has a true history of mankind. And God explained how to approach him and have a relationship with him, didn't he? You don't come to me straight up. I need you to go through this. I need you to go through the tabernacle. I need an offering, and it needs to be blood. And you're going to go through the high priest, and that's as close as you're going to get. That's what the tabernacle taught, right? Approachability of God. How can you approach him? This way. You just don't run up to him and give him a hug. He's holy. You're not. So here's the way to approach him. Okay, what are they trying to erase? They're trying to erase this approachability with God, and then obviously the relationship with him is you have to have the Messiah to have a relationship with him. You have to have Jesus. They're trying to erase that. That's what Sinai taught. Moses predicted that the Messiah was coming, right? He predicted it. He said he would come, and he'd be a prophet better than Moses, and he would be the one that Adam and Eve were told about. Okay, so going to Sinai and doing this is an affront to not only how to approach God, but is a denial of the Messiah and the need for him. That's what going to Sinai does. So there's all these issues that Satan is doing. And lastly, I think I mentioned this, man's nature was revealed there with the history. When I saw that today, I said, this is majorly symbolic for evil. I understand what Satan is doing. He is trying to recreate the world in his own image and how he wants to run it. And you know what? If something doesn't stop it, we are heading for the tribulation. And God will give this world exactly what they want. You will have a new set of Ten Commandments from the Antichrist. You will have a new mode of operandi, and everyone will be a slave. Everyone will be a slave under the Antichrist. So you have God giving freedom and liberty, or you have Satan giving you enslavement. That's where we're at as a country. That's where we're at in the world. Do people want to become a slave, or do they want freedom? I hope they choose freedom. I'm hoping they do. I know you do. But I hope people would wake up and realize what's at stake here. This is a message to the entire world from Satan by doing this on Sinai. It's I've never seen anything like this. It's really bad, really evil. It's sacrilege. You know, that's the word sacrilege. It's sacrilege to do something like this. But anyway, I got to get running. Any more questions?
Well, folks, that brings us to our conclusion today. As always, make sure you're on our text alert system so we can notify you when things change and maybe we move to different platforms or we want to alert you of something. Follow this link and fill that information out. Also, make sure you're aware of our church tracker. If you're looking for a good church, a remnant church, perhaps on our church tracker, you can go there and maybe find a church in your area that might be close to you. They can drive to or whatever and find out. You're going to have to explore and talk to the pastor there, but we have identified initially that it seems to be a remnant church. So check it out and see how it is. And if it's not good, let us know. Just say, hey, I visited one of these churches on your church tracker and they're crazy or something like that, you know, whatever. So use the church tracker if you can. It'll help a lot of people out. And if you know people in other areas of the world, other areas in the United States, point them out to our church tracker and see if they can find a church in their area that is a remnant church. Lastly, pray for us. Pray for us continually. We are under constant spiritual attack. It's unrelenting. Because we get the truth out, because we get the agendas exposed about what people are doing, we get a lot of pushback. And so we would ask that you would pray for us. And also, if the Lord puts it on your heart to help us financially, we could use your help as well. We are not at a mega church. We don't even have our own place. We're building our own place. Hopefully by January, February, maybe the spring, we'll be in our new building. And finally, we'll have a resting place for ourselves. But we need help for that. We're trying to start a school. We need help for that. Trying to keep this ministry going for the online audience. And we just need, obviously, financial resources just for our general budget to operate. So if the Lord puts it on your heart to help us financially, we would greatly appreciate it. And also, those of you who have helped us financially, we thank you from the bottom of our heart because it's allowed us to get to this stage in our ministry, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you. Anyway, we got to get running, but remember what the Lord said. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. God bless you. We'll see you next time.